Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to Leap Year Tampa Bay. It's the 29th of February. We're going to change this podcast. Steve, we're going to do one every 4 years. That's it. One podcast.
I like it.
So you got to make it count.
Do we get paid the same?
Well, for that day you do, but that's, you know, there's only going to be four. Well, one every 4 years, so then you're going to give up some days there.
Oh, okay.
Leap year's a weird thing. I've always thought, and I think I knew one guy, or you know, I think it was a guy that was born on February 29th. It seems to be like there should be some kind of a Benjamin Button thing going on, right? Like you're 16, but you're only celebrating like your fourth birthday or something like that. I don't know how that works, but it's interesting. Now, would you go forward or backward? Would you go, hey, we're going to celebrate your birthday on the 28th of February, or would you roll it to March 1st, which is really what it is?
Well, if it was my birthday, it would be the day before. But if it's like my sons or wives, or it's the day after.
Well, depending on who's paying for it.
Well,
right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
See, I think people should look at it this way. They're getting an extra podcast out of us for this year.
They are. They really are. I mean, this is free for you guys this time. And so you're going to get what you pay for, I promise you. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about, but most of all, I want you to lean on every word, because I'm passionate about this. And I'm not passionate about most things, but I am about this a little bit. It got me fired up. I don't know why. It just kind of hit a nerve. And I did this story a year ago, and now apparently during the combine every year, this is going to come out. Did you see this NFL Players Association? They do report cards. This is when they have about 1,700 anonymous players grade their team on such things as strength training, travel, ownership, weight room, locker room, like different, you know, different categories like that. Mm-hmm. And then they come up with, you know, it's A, B, C, D, and F. And then they rank the teams, you know, best to worst, so to speak. And so it's basically players saying, you know, if you take all these categories, you can figure out sort of what we think of the team. I mean, and then there's comments, which are sometimes hilarious, and sometimes gross, about what some said players want to offer in terms of evidence or things they have to deal with. So it's pretty specific and pretty easy to kind of follow along if you know we're used to grades in school and things like that. Here's what I can tell you about the Bucks for 2024, and maybe this is in honor of 2024. They ranked 24th out of 32. That means only eight teams or players from eight teams are more dissatisfied than the players of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are with what their experience is. And the biggest complaint or gripe that the Bucs players, and again, we don't know if this was one Buc player or if it was 53 or 90. Like, there's no, you know, it's just a kind of a collective. Oh, there's about 1,700 people took the survey. Okay. So could be the same guy. I don't know. But what kind of lowered their grade, if you will, was a couple things. One, poor team travel, which I'll get into. That received an F, which is failing. And it ranked last in the league on this survey. The team travel for this survey, the Bucs team travel was last, 32nd, okay? A D minus was given to the Glazer family for ownership. And so those two grades really, you know, dragged the overall grade down, obviously. So there's like 11 categories. It includes everything from the head coach, who did pretty well, by the way, B minus for Todd Bowles, to treatment of players' families, which did not do so well for the Buccaneers. They were, I think, about a D, if memory serves. Now, across the league, just apples to apples here, ownership did pretty well, you know, across the league. They got mostly high marks. There were 10 A's and 11 B's. So 21 owners were above average, you know. And then you have the Glazers. Not a D, the D minus for the Glazer family ownership. In addition, there were certain complaints that were logged in this team-by-team report card. The Bucks players complained that the team charges $90 per child for game day childcare. So if they play on Sunday, Thursday, whatever, they offer childcare. And apparently that is something that's offered for free by some other teams. Not all of them, but some. Only 11 teams don't provide a family room during the games. Now, this is at a stadium, not just, you know, some random place you drop them off at. Another complaint was that younger players, those who have not been in the league more than 4 years, if they wanted a room by themselves, they didn't want to share a hotel room, which I don't share a hotel room for the Tampa Bay Times. I don't really want to. But if they go on the road, regardless of the hotel, they're going to pay a total of $1,750 a year, $1,750 a year, if they want their own room. And I think that works out to roughly $217 a night, you know, for the 8 or 9 road games they may have. So, you know, this ranking would have been a lot lower, except for the fact that certain things like the dietitian, the training staff, the strength coach, they all got pretty high marks. And the best grade that the Bucks got in these categories was an A minus for strength coaches, and that ranked 11th in the league. So the Glazers themselves, they ranked 29th when it came to something called perceived willingness to invest in facilities. Keep that in mind, because I'm going to get to that in just a minute. The Bucks also believe that the locker room is, quote, old, outdated, and needs to be renovated. They described the locker room. This is hilarious to me. They described the locker room as, quote, smelly, which it's a locker room, and unclean, which is not good. They cited that there were bugs being consistently in the showers. And they also described the team sauna as dirty, small, and broken down. And so they said, you know, outdated facilities are one thing, I'm quoting from the report, but providing clean showers and workspaces and not charging players to have their own hotel room on road trips should be the basic standards for a multi-billion-dollar professional sports enterprise. So the team that blew everybody away, if you're a player and you just want to love on your franchise, your owner, everything there is to do with it, it's the Miami Dolphins. How about that? Nothing lower in all these categories than an A minus, and they ranked first overall, which is incredible. It's pretty interesting, and not a good grade. A little lower, I think, than last year, and I don't have it in front of me, but if memory serves, they fared better a year ago when this started coming out. And so your overall reaction, and we'll get into the specifics here in just a minute, is what, Steve? What were you kind of like thinking, you know?
Most of it's whining. Uh-huh. Now, bugs in the showers and the sauna.
Yeah, you don't want that. Down. Right.
That part I completely get.
Yeah, like, I mean, you need sanitary, you know, conditions and all that.
Yeah, I mean, it's dirty, this. I mean, locker rooms do smell.
Yeah.
Did the locker room at Raymond James Stadium probably need updating? I mean, what, the stadium's 25 years old, 26?
You know, the locker room is newer, though. The locker room they're currently in one that they built about, I want to say, conservatively, maybe 10 years ago.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Mm-hmm. Much more spacious than the old one, which is now the visiting locker room.
I mean, you want your locker room to be nice. How much time do you spend in there?
Very little.
Most of their work's done at one Buck place, not at Raymond James.
There's two kinds of locker rooms. There's the one on game day, which I think is spacious and
maybe they're referring to the one at one Buck.
The one at One Buck is much more crowded, mm-hmm. particularly during training camp when you have 90 players. You get 90 players in there. They kind of have an extra row that they shove in there.
Yeah.
And
the spring training's the same way in baseball. And
yeah, you know, it's not the normal, you know, 53-man roster, mm-hmm. so it's like almost double. So if you can imagine trying to put twice as many players in a space really meant for half of that, then it's a little crowded. I'll grant mm-hmm. you that. It's not, but again, guys aren't on, and they're not literally on top of each other per se. Now, I have not, the one thing I have not and will not have the ability to do is, like, I haven't been to the shower area. I haven't seen the bugs. I don't know how big the shower area is. You know, I know where it is, but I don't know, you know, is there four heads per stand? Like, what are we talking about here? You know, like, I've been in plenty of locker rooms and such, you know, since the old middle school days, but I can't describe them. I know they have a 10,000 square foot training area, 10,000 square foot training area for weights. They got some pools back there. I assume that's where the sauna or the hot tub is and stuff like that. I don't know for sure. But I think that's where they do most of their, you know, water treatment or whatever. I know they got a treadmill and a pool for rehabbing and stuff like that. Like, I've taken a tour of this facility, which, by the way, I can't recall the exact date it was built, but I want to say about 16 years ago. Sounds about right. Maybe more, but not that much more. And since then, they've redone some things. The players lounge and other stuff. And then, of course, they added an indoor facility. I mean, they built this enormous, you know, sort of covered football field that they surprisingly haven't used much under Todd Bowles. They did a lot under Bruce Arians. It usually sits empty most of the time, but it's there for inclement weather or different things. And that seemed important because most colleges have them. And in Florida, you're going to get thunderstorms in the summertime at 4 o'clock and all of that. So they invested a lot of money in that. Okay. Here's my takeaway. On the macro scale, and I'm talking about all these teams, right? And again, you can read any individual ones, and some of them sound really rather petty in terms of what players, you know, have to pay, not pay, whatever. But for the most part, a couple things. One, this is, in my opinion, millionaires complaining about billionaires, which mm-hmm. grates me to no end, okay? And maybe I'm, you know, maybe I'm that, you know, get off my lawn guy or something. I don't know. But I've been around NFL locker rooms now for over 30 years. First of all, did we all forget what One Buck Place used to be off runway 36 right in Tampa International, the Woodshed? Which it was not affectionately called. It was the Woodshed or Buccaneer Beach. It was a white stucco building that probably wasn't more than 5,000 square feet. I'm not making this up. That housed an entire NFL team. There was no lunchroom. There was no huge meeting rooms or in their play, you know, by position or anything else. Guys stood up or ate at their lockers. The bathroom, and then the Glazers, after they bought the franchise, they didn't do anything in terms of building a new facility for years and years and years and years. They just added a bunch of trailers to expand it, like you'd see with temporary classrooms in high schools, things like that. So it kind of became this, you know, trailer park, for lack of a better word, because that's what it was. I'm pretty sure that I have a class action lawsuit against the FAA, because I think we were too close to a runway, an active runway, where jets were taking off. I've lost most of my hearing anyway. I want to think that maybe that's one reason. But that aside, like, they won a Super Bowl, and they're proud of it, that they won it at Buccaneer Beach, you know, and the Woodshed. And then they built what I called at the time One Buck Palace. And so, you know, everything kind of changed. Like, this place was state of the art. But here's the thing. It was state of the art 20 years ago, 18 years, whenever they built it. And so, you know, everything changes. The last facility that was built is better than you know, the one last year. That's the reality. Couple things here that really kind of got to me was this, is that, you know, and I guess they said that, Let's talk about daycare. All right. They complain that they charge $90 per child for game day daycare, which many teams offer for free. There's only 11 that don't provide what is like a family room. We're talking about at the stadium now, okay? Steve, is it just me? If you choose to have a child, like I have worked every Sunday for a bunch of years. I have left my home. I have a working wife. We decided to have kids and work. I'm pretty sure I've spent enough money on childcare to have sent both kids to an Ivy League school, right? And they're not out of high school or junior high yet. But just in terms of like, you know, you have children that have to be taken care of. Yeah, you'd like to go to the game and it's 3 hours on a Sunday. I get it. Wouldn't it be great if what am I missing here? Do these guys should a franchise? It's nice, don't get me wrong. Great if an organization wants to provide this, right? But are we really marking teams off for those that don't you give away free childcare for 3 hours on a Sunday, Monday, Thursday night?
It's millionaires complaining about billionaires. Now,
right?
If there's other teams that do it and you'd rather go play for them, you have that option. Or as a players union, you have the right to collectively bargain that every team has to provide that. That every team has to provide individual hotel rooms on the road.
You could bargain that if you want to.
I mean, that's why you have a union. That's why, you know, if you don't like this, I mean, you can complain to your owner, and if they want to change it, that's their prerogative, of course. But I tend to, you know, if you're going to judge somebody, look at the bigger things.
Yeah, and I mean, listen, I'm trying hard, you know, I'm not trying to be a shill for the Glazers or NFL owners. Mm-hmm. I'm not. I really am not. And I know that not every player makes, you know, millions of dollars when they come to the league, although the league minimum is up there. Practice squad players, for example, make $250,000 a year. Okay, you're richer than the average guy for sure, but you're not making millions and millions, right? But again, children are something that your wife and you discuss. How are we going to take care of them? Do we have relatives? Like I'll go out on a Saturday night, and I have kids that are in their teens and almost teenagers, and you know, I might spend $75 on someone to watch them for a few hours. You know, just because my wife and I want to go out. Like, this is not a big deal to me. Okay, that aside, the room thing. Would it be nice if everybody had their own room? Yeah. Is it necessary? Not really. Although I prefer it, and I have my own when I travel with the Times, right? But if you're going to tell me what amounts to about $217 each per road trip is going to be what gives you an F in this league, I don't know, man. You know, and it's a small percentage of players because, for the most part, they pay for everybody's room unless you've been in the league. Like, from what I understand now, I might be wrong about this. I think the ones that don't get their own rooms have been in the league less than 4 years, and they can opt out of a double room if they want by paying this fee. Also, the $90, from what I understand, with the childcare, it's kind of like. It's kind of like taxes in a way. Like, they offer an opportunity, let's say, for players, you know, to purchase extra tickets, okay? And they even give them, they comp them tickets, so many, you know, per person in the organization or players. You get so many per game. But you have to pay the taxes on them, okay? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
So this is, from what I understand, this is sort of the tax on that childcare benefit. Right, which seems like, well, $90 seems like a lot of money for a four-hour game. I don't know how that all comes out. But again, kids, hotels. I know the hotels they stay in because sometimes they offer them to us if they have extra rooms. And they get it, you know, they offer a very discounted rate for the kind of hotel they're in. First of all, nothing they stay at, and I mean nothing they stay at, is less than a five-star. Very often a six-star hotel. So we're talking the cream de la cream, right? The Ritz-Carlton's, top of the line, you know, DoubleTree, like whatever it is. And generally, they're one of the best hotels in the said city that they're at, okay? Now, there were a couple trips this past year that for one reason or another, and I'm not going to go over, Tim Jarocki is like their operations guy and he handles all the travel and he does a really good job. But like when they went to Rich Stadium in Buffalo, there was something going on, like a teacher's convention. Like there's something in the city of Buffalo that weekend and they can't stay at any hotel. They need hotels that houses large meeting rooms, right? Because, you know, you're traveling with 100 people, you know, and you got 53 players, practice squad. You got to meet in these rooms and then meet in position rooms. So they have to stay in certain places that can accommodate them. Also, you're going to have a giant lunchroom or cafeteria or, you know, they feed these guys for free the whole time they're on the road. You start eating on the minute you get on the airplane or on the way up to the airplane, and you don't stop eating until you're in your car on the way back. I've traveled with them a couple times. And so, you know, the idea that, I don't know, I have to pay $200 if I want my own, I would gladly do it, and I'd do it on my salary, you know, so I wouldn't have to stay with Joey Knight. Seriously, I don't want my bosses to know this, but that's what I would do. So, like, all of this seems trivial to me. Maybe it shouldn't be. Maybe we're trying to compare apples to apples. And, you know, there's so many billions of dollars in the NFL, you wonder why they would cut corners and make a young player pay for his own room. And that's a fair argument, you know, like mm-hmm. which side do you fall on? You know, are you on the ownership side or the player side? The players are taking all the risks. They're the ones that, you know, I get it. Like, I kind of get that, you know, who's more bougie and who's the working class guy? And, the owners are trying to get over on their employees. Like, but let's be honest, we're not talking about a sweatshop in China. You know what I mean? Like, these guys chose to play in the National Football League, and they get a lot of rewards for that, and they take a lot of risk too, but it is their choice. But I'm all about, yeah, health, cleanliness, like all that. There's no excuse for that. That's got to be taken care of 100% on them. You should never see a comment like that. If you're an NFL team, you have enough money to make sure that those conditions are met. That's the basic, right? That's the meets requirements. Like that you should get graded down for. It's just, but the rest of it just seems sort of out of whack. And what's really funny to me, because you can go through all these grades, by the way, and you can go to my Twitter feed or whatever, and you'll see, you know, each category and what they rank them. And almost universally, you know what area gets ranked the highest for almost every team? Strength coach. You know why that is? Have you ever tried to piss off your strength coach in football? Do you know what that does to you the next time you're under that barbell and he's saying, give me two more, give me five more. Oh, I got a program for you today. And you have to go with this guy and complete this program, or he's going to go to the head coach and say something about you that's not going to be very flattering. No strength coach has got less than a B that I could see. It's unbelievable. And so it kind of shows you, you know, here's the inherent bias, right? That, you know, these guys are like, you know, hey, I can't upset the guy that's going to bust me if I do. He's going to hold me accountable. So let me get the owner or, you know, the bug guy in the shower or whatever. So that's sort of where I fall on that. The other thing is this. You would hope, right, or expect or think that if I score well, if I'm an A team, Miami Dolphins, okay, if I'm the best of the, look, it's a feather in your cap. If players are happy, that's tremendous, right? You're doing things right, doing a lot of things well. A lot of things first class. Okay, good for you. But your job as a professional athlete is to what? Perform. But more than that, you don't get paid just to perform. You get paid to win, right? So all this stuff that we're talking about here, I don't have to worry about the kids. Hey, I got a room to myself. Hey, I got, you know, good airplane seat. Like all this should really be there to help you, provide you an opportunity to play your best so that you can what? Not just to perform. You don't get, you know, there's a misconception sometimes. Yeah, it's an individual game and all that. within a team sport, but it's the ultimate team sport. But you're really getting paid to win, right? Your job is, you know, not to have the softest pillows on the road. Your job is to win games, okay? Take a guess at where the Kansas City Chiefs are ranked. Because the last time I checked, they've won three Super Bowls, and they've been to, like, what, five with Patrick Mahomes. They're ranked 31st in the NFL on this survey. 31st. So it's not even about winning, right? I mean, you would think these things would give you an edge, and you want a good night's sleep, and you don't want to have to worry about the kids, and you'd like to. But maybe your roommate snores. Like, all that's important. The airplane seats are too small. Like, I get it. But if it's just about winning, the Chiefs are 31st. Now, they're 31st for a reason, is because they've got some of the oldest facilities in the NFL. They haven't upgraded, you know, their training facilities and things like that. I think they were sitting on benches in the locker room and not actual chairs with seat backs. But that aside, you know, where does winning fall on this? Like, so you're going to rank the owners a D minus in Tampa Bay, right? But the Hunt family, which seems to have been doing it pretty well the last 50 years, and certainly the last five or six, their team is 31st in the league in player satisfaction on the survey. I don't know. I have an issue with this. I think this is like whining to some extent. Pick another team. You want to go to a team with good airplane rides and, you know, daycare? Okay. That's important to you, man. But winning would be important to me. What helps me win? And I've been to these hotels. There was one problem this year in Buffalo, like I said. The hotels were sold out, and the bus ride, it was bad. There was a shooting on the highway. It took almost an hour for those players to get to that stadium from Niagara, which is nowhere near Rich Stadium. But that was, again, because they couldn't find the hotel with the requisite meeting rooms downtown. So they had to stay a little further away at a 6-star resort, I might add. I don't know, man. Am I off base here, or am I just too blue-collar for this crap? I don't get it.
So here's the thing. I get from a player's perspective, you know, every employee, just, you know, think of whether it's you and the Times or, you know, whoever you work for.
You compare yourself to the other newspaper, yeah, or whatever, yeah, industry standard, right?
Exactly. I mean, you know, yeah. And so do you want the best working conditions for you? Yes. Do I have a problem with the players doing the survey and trying to get better facilities, stuff, amenities, mm-hmm, whatever it is, out of the owners? No. Why, mm-hmm, are you making it public? Because now it's millionaires complaining about billionaires.
Yeah, now you're going to lose your fans, and that's the only thing you should really care about.
The mistake
here
is putting it out there.
I agree.
Like, agreed. Why are you making this public and promoting it? Like,
because the players want to embarrass the teams that get, yeah, the bad grades. They want to shame them into upgrading their facilities or their conditions, whatever that is. And the Bucks, mm-hmm, unbelievably, because if I'm the PR, and I'm not, this is not on Nelson, Louise, or anybody, but if I'm just advising them, I'm like, you know what? We have no comment. Because next year, there'll be another grade that we may not like, and we're going to have to comment again. So we have two choices. We can just have a standard comment, right?
Which is what they put out, essentially.
Which is what they put out. Or we can just go, eh. Can't be dismissive. So their statement was, we value the NFLPA report. I bet they do. And the input from our players. And again, we don't know how many. Could be 5, could be 10. That it provides. The feedback allows us to examine, address, and improve many areas of our operation. We hold ourselves to the highest standards as we strive to be first class in everything we do. I mean, what do you want them to say? Fix the showers. Get the bugs out of there. Fix the sauna. You know? That stuff, sure. You need a survey for that? I mean, that should be taken care of anyway, and any player should be able to, you know, be able to go to ownership or somebody in the front office and say, hey, this isn't right, you know. But that's what unions are for. I mean, I get what the union's role is here. But they make it public, and they line them up, and they rank them 1 through, you know, 32. And there were the Kansas City Chiefs, the world champions. I thought maybe they're going to complain because they don't have a big enough trophy case. You know?
Well, the Chiefs unveil plans today for their how they view redoing Arrowhead Stadium and upgrades and things like that. So, you know, well-timed.
Yeah, Arrowhead does need a facelift. The funny thing about Arrowhead, and I've been there many times, is that for a stadium as old as it is, it was pretty, like, it holds up. It's not as bad as I would expect it to be for as old as it is. It really, you know. And most of these stadiums, you know, the newer ones, what they're really building in the newer ones are going to be smaller. I think the next generation of stadiums might hold 50,000, if that. I don't think it's going to hold much more than that. I don't. And there's going to be a lot of amenities, and it's going to be premium seating everywhere. You know, because the high rollers love their clubs. They love their buffets. They love their televisions. And, oh, yeah, you know what they're going to love even more? The betting windows. Because that's what's coming. What's coming is the in-house gambling at each stadium, which will increase the values of these franchises, you know, double of what they are now. And it's inevitable, you know, and people are going to be priced out as they are already, you know, for the most part. But I'm just thinking, like, you know, that family that saved money to go to that game and they had four kids and it, you know, it cost them, you know, $40 to park, and, you know, the tickets are $250 each or $300, and, you know, all that stuff. Like, and then you have this side of it, you know, where, I don't know, it rubbed me the wrong way. And even you're right about the industry standard. Like, if everybody gets this, but we don't, why don't we get it? Like, that's part of the issue here, right?
Mm-hmm.
But by the same token, I think you've lost touch. Like, stuff like this makes your fans, when you make it public, to your point, it makes your fans realize that you're so removed from the people who go to the games, that love your product, that pay for it, frankly, right? That you're complaining about stuff that they do every day of their lives and have to pay for and expect to. And don't, you know, don't pawn it off on their employer. It's just weird to me. I guess, like I said, these teams are responsive to certain things, and yeah, cleanliness and all that stuff, sanitary condition, absolutely. Work conditions should be good. You should be able to afford a good cleanup crew every day. But man, it's just.
We did get an email from tweet actually from Harlan.
Yeah.
So this is the past is the past, but the Bucks also moved the players, families, and pets to Miami a couple of years ago to escape a hurricane.
They did. And they do that stuff. And you know, look, they try to take care of families that go on the road. You know what I mean? And I know they have a whole group of people that are Peter partners, and I'm not talking about the ones that are, you know, have sponsorships. But in general, you know, they will try to get them rooms and things, you know, when they're available to be around the team, you know, and to take care of wives and girlfriends and stuff. Like, I mean, I see these folks on the road. I know that they didn't just happen to check into the same hotel. And like I said, I know the people that are in charge of the travel over there. They work really, really hard. I think one of the complaints that I've heard about the Bucks, and it's not just them, but, you know, after COVID, like during COVID, no one else could fly on the plane except the players and the coaches, you know, because all your support staff, I mean, you have a lot of people that travel. I mean, you're talking about video crews, equipment, you know, all the coaches, and just a lot of front office staff, and it's a lot, right? And PR and all that. And during COVID, the union decided, well, only the players and coaches, and that made sense because they were tested every day and you didn't want to spread infection and stuff like that. But they wound up getting smaller airplanes, a lot of teams, including the Bucks. And I'm not sure that, except for the longer trips, they're still kind of on smaller, when I say smaller, you know, fewer seats in first class if they have it, you know, that sort of thing. The Patriots went ahead and bought their own airplanes. They have two airplanes that are just theirs. They're not exceptionally large. We're not talking about, you know, 747s here. And they have to lease it out, I would suppose, to a lot of people so they keep those birds in the air. But they didn't get high marks for travel either. And they have their own airplanes. So, you know, sitting on an airplane at 300 pounds sucks no matter who you're with. And the airlines are increasingly not into charter flights because they don't make enough money. And it disrupts their crew and all that stuff. So there's a lot of issues with travel in the NFL in general. But I think this past year, there was a couple incidents happened that I could see where people would be like, eh. But what if I told you, like, you know, 9 players or 10 players even asked about or tried to use daycare? Would that surprise you? Wouldn't surprise me. A lot of these guys are younger. And if they're not, they got mothers or wives or, you know, girlfriends or sisters watching their kids, where they'd probably rather have them watch them, which is at home, instead of a big room in a stadium. I mean, I don't know. There's a lot of things about this that just kind of rub me the wrong way. Maybe I'm just sensitive to the fact that they all should just be happy, man. You're in the NFL. It's really not a bad gig, you know? And I know the Glazers are an easy target, and they are in Manchester United and all of that stuff. But the coaches I talk to, and some of the players, but certainly the coaches all say, hey, they give us everything we need. They certainly gave Tom Brady everything he needed. He couldn't have been more effusive in his praise of them. And, of course, they were going to go, you know, bend over backward for a guy like Tom anyway, even to the point where, you know, TB12 was up the road and all the players are going down there to take a little extra conditioning and training and stuff like that. So they've been pretty responsive and they do want to win. But again, if winning is the goal, then how are the Chiefs 31st? If all this stuff helps you win, how are the Chiefs 31st? Well, they win because they have Patrick Mahomes. They're 31st because they need to upgrade their stuff. But anyway, pretty interesting. Interesting deal. All right. Before we wrap it up and tell you what's going to be on tomorrow's show and talk a little bit more about some mailbag and stuff like that, how you can submit questions, I want to remind you guys that for the past 14 years, the skilled pros of May Electric Solar have been installing solar energy systems in Florida. Now, they provide the most reliable solar equipment, the best installation methods and service while helping homeowners cut energy costs with an environmentally friendly investment. May Electric Solar uses their own skilled employees, never subcontractors, and they've always offered the safest and most reliable equipment. Now, May Electric Solar offers a 30-year no-cost equipment replacement and labor warranty. That means for 30 years, May Electric Solar, backed by Solar Insure, means that your electrical and equipment replacement is all covered. Solar Insure even survives May Electric Solar, and it's owned by the homeowner with no deductibles or additional fees. Now, this policy will transfer to new homeowners also with no fee. It's not a blanket insurance policy. In fact, only the best contractors are allowed to be part of this program. May Electric Solar's reputation and their history of workmanship has earned them this membership. To learn more about May Electric Solar's installation and their 30-year warranty, call 727-819-2862, or you can visit mayelectricsolar.com.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
All right, on the big show tomorrow, we're going to have the Tampa Bay Lightning are playing. Are they at Buffalo? Is that correct?
No, they're home. 5-game home.
They're home.
That last over 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
So
and some days off in between.
Yeah, Sabres tonight, Canadiens on Saturday. Then they don't play again until next Thursday. They'll have Thursday, Saturday.
Whoa.
Then they go to the next Thursday again. So all those games in hand we've talked about all season, other teams are going to start catching up the next 2 weeks.
Eating up, yeah. Going to get caught up to them a little bit, which makes the points that they have on the line even more valuable because they could lose some here with the games at hand. So, yeah, they play Buffalo. And you can get your mailbag questions in for Friday. You can do that by sending it to us on Twitter at SportsDayTB. Reach me there at NFL Stroud or my email address, always rstroud@tampabay.com. Or Steve Versnick, I'm Rick Stroud of the Tampa Bay Times. Have a great day, everybody.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.